Quick note, before the Ira Kaufman podcast begins, we recorded live at One Buck Place just literally seconds before the Doug Martin announcement was made that he was suspended by the NFL for 4 games for violating its drug policy. Therefore, some of the takes in here, really all the takes, don't reflect that, but a lot of good information anyway, and we do cut the podcast off at the end before we get back into some stuff that would be related to Martin and not really relevant. So enjoy what's here. We'll be back Tuesday for the next Ira Kaufman podcast, and enjoy the Custodian of Ken. All right, it's that time again for the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, and heard right here on JoeBucksFan.com. as well as at iTunes. And of course, the star of the show is not me. It's not Lee DeCamper from JoeBucksFan.com. It is Ira Kaufman. And he is, of course, in the house. We're live from One Buck Palace, Ira. Oh, practice is just ending, but after the media window has closed on Wednesday. And let's get right to it.
This is our final podcast of the regular season, Stephen.
Not to be confused with the end of podcasts.
Next time we talk, the 16 games will be in the books, sir. This is a big one.
A big podcast or a big game?
It's a big podcast.
We're going all year round. Let's not confuse.
We are, but
it's,
you know,
all big. It's all big. We, Steve, live the Bucks life.
You deserve this. You guys deserve a little good news at the end of the season, as the Bucks are stumbling towards a finish. I'm in the locker room with Brandon Myers. I'm asking him a couple of questions, and Myers goes, "Heard your podcast last week, Kaufman. Well, you guys are yucking it up pretty good over there." Mike Evans turned his head. Adam Humphrey's like, "Hey, what's going on here? This is serious stuff." But Buck players are listening. That's a good sign, Steve. I hope I didn't say anything negative about Brandon Myers, but he did talk to me, so I think I was okay.
Ira, you act like you're surprised. You're surprised by this. Did that surprise you?
Well, you know, we don't know what Dirk Cutter's going to say at the podium. Maybe he heard the podcast last week, Steve.
I wouldn't be surprised if he listens.
You never know.
Well, here's if you don't needle Brandon Myers about him loving Taylor Swift, then you're probably okay.
There you go.
Yeah, you're in good shape. Lee went after him for his Taylor Swift love last season. All right, Ira, of course, we're going to get right after the issue of the day. And
issues.
It keeps growing. It keeps growing.
Let me stop you right there.
No, I'm going to stop you.
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you with two words before you even ask your question. He's through. He's through.
Ooh. Well, let's see if we get his preamble first.
Of course, we're going to we're talking Doug Martin. But first, we got to talk about Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac
Brandon.
They're
not through.
Proud presenters of the Ira Kaufman podcast. They're not through. A very busy week there. Season's best event is coming to a close. Sign and drive opportunities at both dealerships. You want to start your search at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Of course, almost all of you are online right now as you listen. And Ira, right now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, lease a brand new 2017 Escalade for $899 a month. Absolutely zero due at signing. You heard that right. Just sign and drive. Hurry in this holiday season. Again, these prices, best prices of the year. The best prices of the year during the season's best event right now. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Or click on EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And I see you got your Ed Morse gear.
That's a better deal than I got on my little putt-putt car, Stephen. I need to go in there myself, see what they can do for me.
You've got the Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Absolutely. And Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon gear on right now, which you wore on.
Wore it this morning at the pewter panel.
Pewter panel all over Buccaneers.com. All right, Ira. You've said Doug Martin is done. We're going to turn the floor over to you. Today at practice, word was excused absence. I was out there. He wasn't out there stretching. He wasn't sitting on the sideline wearing the floppy hat, smiling. He was not visible.
Most importantly, for our purposes, he was unavailable in the locker room, gentlemen, if we ever had any doubts that he was going to be around. And he may not even be there after the game on Sunday night.
We'll get to that in a second. But there's additional breaking news, I think.
So, Ira, we'll get to that later.
Well, it's related
because it's already, we're a day behind anyway on the podcast. No, we don't have Walter Cronkite over our shoulder.
You're right.
But you say Doug Martin is done. What's the deal, Ira? What's going on?
Too much water under the bridge, Steve. What we don't know is exactly what motivated Dirk Cutter to deactivate. Demote, embarrass, humiliate, choose any word you want. But in the biggest game, Mr. DeCamper, of the 2016 Bucs season, Doug Martin was in a hoodie, and he was healthy. Not even a semblance of a toe injury, a knee tweak. No. What do we hear? Coach's decision. Well, Lee, if coach's decision is absolute going into the biggest game of the season and he's not an option at running back, it tells me he doesn't fit into your future plans. Tell me where I'm wrong, DeKemper.
Ooh, I don't know if you're wrong, but you have to remember, Team Glazer is on the hook for $7 million for next year with Mr. Martin.
Understood. I didn't say he's done in the NFL. I said I think he's done with this franchise.
Well, to me, done with the franchise, meaning he's played his last game. And I don't know yet if that's the case or not. Now, I will say this, and I've written this before on JoeBucksFan.com. You know, it's product placement, JoeBucksFan.com.
Nice.
Okay. Anyway, with Martin, I've written that, pardon me, if there is a year the Buccaneers can afford to eat a $7 million contract, it would be this offseason because the Bucs have so much cap space, I mean, unreal amount of cap space, and that's be like 80-some million projected as we speak. That's not factoring Altron Werner's contract. I doubt that he returns. That doesn't factor in Evan Smith's contract. It's up for debate if he returns or not, and he's got a hefty contract. You throw those two contracts off, you know, you factor those two contracts in, that more than takes care of Doug Martin's eating.
So you're not necessarily disagreeing with me, Lee.
Not necessarily disagreeing, but here's the thing. If there's no off-field issue, if he's not a pain in the ass, and there's nothing to suggest he has been, if everything's kosher off the field, everything's kosher inside the building, why not keep him until through training camp? And, you know, let's say this is some sort of elaborate motivational system. Well, then you've motivated them for next year.
Lee, that sounds good, but your motivation going into the New Orleans game is to win the New Orleans game. You didn't think he could contribute in that regard.
The Bucks
and that tells me, Lee, that I don't think they can go into 2017 counting on Doug Martin's services.
I agree with that.
I'm going to dial you into what happened today. Guy's not at practice. The word is it's an excused absence. We haven't spoken to Doug Dirtcutter yet. I'm assuming that he's going by now. He's already said excused absence. But what does that tell you?
Tells me they don't want him around. They don't want him around. I mean,
told him to go home.
It's really
Anthony Collins revisited.
It's Keyshawn. It's Anthony Collins. It's a strange situation, Steve. Why go out of your way to humiliate number 22? 3 weeks ago, Dirtcutter stood at a podium, gentlemen, and offered a strong rebuke to the Doug Martin bashers. Total defense of Doug Martin. Saying, you know, his lack of production is at least understandable. There's extenuating circumstances, Steve. And now, not dressing him and then excused absence. Something's going on with Doug Martin, and none of it is good for Buckland.
Potentially, and this is something our good friend, the big dog Steve Dumig, always reminds us of. In his famous words, "I smell agent." Perhaps his agent said, hey, what's the point? If you're not going to dress, why even go to practice? Go home.
Yeah.
So that could be a factor. You know, there's a lot unknown. A lot of this is speculation. What is not speculation is his season is done.
If I was another team, Steven, I don't think this is a stretch, you know, going forward. I might have a little interest in Doug Martin. Now, I'm not giving up a second-round draft pick, but, you know, his salary's not astronomical. And you're not tied into him long term, Team X that might have a little interest, that has a decent offensive line, that thinks they can bring him back to the Doug Martin of 2015 and 2012. I don't think it's crazy to think that Martin has zero value on the market.
Well, for fans who don't realize, Martin signed the big contract. Yes, if you drive by Raymond James Stadium, you see his big old face. Has the whole side of the stadium, a big Doug Martin
siege
mural.
The day.
Siege the day. However, only one more year of his contract is guaranteed. And I think that's the point you're making, is for $7 million, well, is there another team out there that says, hey, I'll take Doug Martin.
And, he could be our primary back.
He could be our guy. And just like Lee said, that the Bucks have all this cap room to eat. Well, there are other teams that have cap room, too, that if the Bucks are willing to cut him, there's also probably a team that's willing to trade for him. But I don't think there's any value there, Ira. Nobody trades good picks for guys, running backs coming off unproductive, injury played seasons for big dollars. It just doesn't happen. Maybe they get a fifth round pick. Maybe.
Would you be shocked if here comes Bill Belichick, gentlemen, deciding that he's squeezed as much out of LeGarrette Blount as he possibly. By the way, LeGarrette Blount has 17 touchdowns. It's just astounding. 17 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah,
extraordinary.
I don't think Belichick's going to. I mean, the fans there would be outraged. Blount's a huge fan favorite up there, as you can imagine, and he makes like $2 million. Well, I don't see Belichick doing it. Maybe Lee does.
Never know with Belichick. You know, when he sees value, Lee, when he sees value out there, a guy that he thinks he can turn around, and he's done it so many times. You never know with him.
Well, not just turn around, and before I say this, I'm not trying to besmirch Doug Martin in any way, shape, or form. You know, he's always everything we've all heard. He's a good dude. You know, so, yeah. Anyway, Belichick always takes the problem children and turns them around. I mean, Chad Johnson, no one wanted to touch him. He takes him. LeGarrette Blount was a thorn in the Bucs' side. He became a locker room cancer here. They got him for a piece of change. He turned Ben Blount around. You can go on and on and on. Guys that have gotten second and third chances with Belichick, and he, as you said, to use your words, squeezed something out of him.
You know, he's the venture capitalist of the NFL, Steve. Comes in, looks for a distressed player instead of a distressed business, and, you know, gets 3 years out of it.
Yeah, yeah, you know, sometimes Belichick, you know, look, he's also the same guy who signed Albert Haynesworth. And that was a bust for him, and he managed to pawn him off on Mark Dominic, which is extraordinary. And that was a disaster. That was one of the biggest things that sunk that 2011 team. But
look what he got out of Randy Moss. That's the unbeaten seed. The guy.
Oh my gosh.
The guy scored 22 touchdowns.
Sure, but I'll say this: Belichick, he has a running back who obviously fits his scheme perfectly.
I guess
so. It doesn't. I guess. But so it doesn't make sense on that front. He already the guy has a back who's with 17 touchdowns and 1,100 yards. And
maybe so, Blount becomes a situational back. Maybe. You never know.
I don't know. But I'll say this, and I think everybody would agree, if Martin is outright cut by the Bucs, if they've decided whatever the issue is, and we'll probably never know the truth, we're moving on, there will be a bidding war for Doug Martin, but it won't start at $7 million. It might start around the league at $3 million, and people starting to, you know, because he's still in his prime at 28 years old for a running back, still in his prime.
Doesn't have a tremendous amount of wear and tear.
Never had knee injuries, any knee surgery or anything. And the guys just obviously put it all on film last year. So somebody will want him for sure.
And has had two spectacular seasons out of five, but two.
Mm-hmm. With Doug Martin, it just seems odd that all this crept up. You know, in a matter of weeks, how, you know, all of a sudden he was okay. They swore he was healthy. We don't know he's unhealthy.
The three of us have been talking about him, you know, for the last 6 weeks.
And you brought up something you kind of spurred me on here, and it's been a thorn in my side, and I'm just going to unload here. There's been, you know, there's been a couple of wannabes on the internet, I'll just say that have taken Steve and I to absolute task.
Fair, feel Rake you're picking on him.
Oh, like we're responsible for his lack of production. If this doesn't tell you that our sources were on the mark about something, nothing will.
And your eyesight. You saw it yourself.
My God, how can you not? The only way you can not is if you were, you know, offensive line. I hear this all the time. If the offensive line is so bad, how come his backups are getting more production? Number one. Number two, and this is really going to get me going. Number two, how come Martin got better production running behind trash like Anthony Collins, who's out of football, Josh Allen, who's a hang-around with the San Francisco 49ers, that powerhouse team at the East or West Coast, and Garrett Gilkey, who people can run out of this town quick enough. So if you believe that, then you're telling me the offensive line is laying down for him. That which
Lee,
is outrageous.
Your number one point is as far as you have to go. Other runners,
yeah,
are more productive than Doug Martin this season.
For me, even throw it out the window. You watch him on film. You watch him on the field. Doesn't have the burst. Never broke a run. 140-something carries, I believe.
144.
When there are holes on the left and right side that he doesn't run through. Instead, he tries to run through traffic. And my favorite thing about whining about the offensive line, Doug Martin with 144 carries. Attempts. Every running back with at least 144 carries, has better yards per carry than Doug Martin. So if people are blaming the Bucs offensive line, then that tells me the rest of the running backs that have more carries than Doug Martin are all running behind pristine lines, which you and I both know is absolute BS.
You can't excuse a 2.9 average, Steve. There's no way around it.
Yeah, and you know we've almost, or at least Bucs fandom, we've sort of moved beyond that because he's, like you said, embarrassed, humiliated. The team has basically made him persona non grata in a hurry in a matter of a few weeks. Something happened. I don't think that's a reach. Something happened. Will we be able to find out what
we're going to find out?
I did mention one nugget in the story I had this morning, Wednesday on Doug Martin and trading for him. For what it's worth, and maybe this is out of line. Ira, you'll tell me if this is out of line.
I'm already inclined to say that, but go ahead.
But I mentioned that, you know, nothing bad to say about Doug Martin, but maybe it was a red flag, and I know this for a fact. This is not even debatable. About 10 days before Austin Seferian Jenkins was cut, he was hanging out socially with Doug Martin. Now, I'll say this. To me, it's a red flag for a vet like Doug Martin to be hanging out with the team screwball. It just seemed not. That's something to maybe file in the back of our
minds.
It's
a little bit guilt by association, Stephen, but
red flag by association.
Red flag.
in recent events, it kind of
in recent events, it's an interesting tidbit.
Yeah, it's an eyebrow raiser.
It's nice that you have offered a tidbit during this Bucs season, and that is your one, and it's a good one.
So, Ira, you want to hear about the Doug how everything broke down in New Orleans?
You got a New Orleans story for us?
Well, I'll just tell you how. I'll give some people.
Give us the abridged version.
Yeah, I'll give people.
We got other issues to move on to here, Steven.
Is there a bigger issue than this? I'll give people inside baseball. Steve had called me. I had just arrived at the stadium. I always walk to the stadium. I always walk the 20 minutes, half hour walk from French Quarter
down Poydras Street.
You got it.
There you go.
And so I walked up a sweat. It was like pushing 80 there at the time. So I walked up a sweat, and I just get to the stadium, and just as the elevator doors are closing, as I'm going up in a full elevator, I get a phone call from Steve. I'll call you right back. So once I got upstairs, you can quit panting and wipe my brow. I called Steve, and Steve's like, "Hey, man, I don't know if you saw it yet, but Doug Martin's inactive." Like, whoa. So I immediately went into reporting mode, and I spoke with, I'll just say, a suit with the Bucs, and
someone in a position of knowledge.
That's a good way of putting it.
That's right.
And immediately I was told, coach's decision. And then later I spoke with a team spokesman of the Bucs. You could fill in the blanks. I heard the same thing, coach's decision. And that was the statement of the day, coach's decision. After the game, everybody, coach's decision. They were coached up. So that told me right away that the team knew at least the day before that this was happening, when team meetings, I'm sure the communications wing of the Bucs said, okay, this is how you're going to answer. Coach's decision. Now, after the game, the minute the doors open up for media, out walks Doug Martin with the suit. Now, the other people that were credentialed Buccaneers reporters, they all jumped into the locker room, and there was Doug Martin leaving. I ran up to Martin right away, and Martin's always been good with us as
first,
media.
I'm shocked that you caught up to Doug Martin. let's get that out.
Maybe that's why he was cut.
Well, he was walking fast. I was running.
I know his burst is down a little, Steve, but this is getting a little ridiculous here for those who know Lee DeKemper.
Martin,
continue.
Martin would not talk. He was polite but firm. You could tell he was not happy. He would not talk. And I followed him for about 10 yards. I was hitting him with questions like, you know, I hate anything.
You know, you're going on the team bus over there at the camp.
He was headed straight for the – I was on my way to the team bus with him. And I walked with Martin for maybe about 10 yards and rolled up you know, I'm not going to out anybody or say any names. But
right.
A team spokesman caught up with Doug, put his arm around his shoulder, and said, "Lee, give us a couple minutes." And he took Doug Martin behind an apron so they could have a little private moment. And then a couple other Bucs reporters saw what was going on. They ran up to me as well. And, you know, the Bucs were like, you know, the palm raised with the arm extended, like, give us a couple minutes. So then Martin was coached up, like, basically telling Doug Martin, you're going to have to talk. And so Doug Martin came back, and, you know, everything was just, you know, and rainbows and seashells.
He said coach's decision.
Yep, said same thing, coach's decision. Everything was rainbow and seashells. Hey, you know, the Bucs just wanted to win. I'm okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he went from being, I wouldn't say surly, but he was certainly uncomfortable. And he was polite with me, but you could tell he wasn't going to talk. I'm not talking today. Sorry, no, I'm not talking. I don't have anything to say. And as soon as the Bucs representatives got hold of him, in about 2 minutes, he had something to say.
Steve, from what we can piece together, I think it's safe to say, Steve, the decision to deactivate Doug Martin was made well before Sunday's game. I mean, well before. I think maybe a couple of days before. That's my understanding.
I agree.
Well, and didn't Rodgers say himself he was told during the week?
During the week. And he got picked. He got hacked off at me when I tried to press him. What day?
See, he told he was going to be the primary ball carry?
And let's inject a dose of reality here. If the team was not made aware of this earlier in the week, that would be irresponsible by Dirk Koetter. Why would you want to drop a distraction on your team on Sunday?
Right.
Doug Martin's not playing.
That's right.
So that would have been pure irresponsible if that were
that,
the
Steve.
Case.
Why would you, if you knew you were going to bench Doug Martin, why would you build a game plan all week long for Doug Martin?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So when they went out to practice and they're working on who's going to, you know, when they're lined up with the first team, I'm sure it was Jaquizz Rodgers out there Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday walkthrough, Friday walkthrough. Come on.
I'll add to what Steve said.
Well, let me throw this to Ira. But we watched Jameis Winston today, Ira, essentially in front of the media, pretend that, oh, gosh, this was such a last minute thing. I didn't even have a chance to chat with Doug Martin. What do you make of that theatrics?
I make that Jameis was coached up just like Doug Martin was coached up a few days later. You know, Jameis doesn't go to the podium unprepared. Lee.
Oh, no, they sit down with him before he goes on the podium, yeah.
And Steve, he knows what the probable questions are about. He knows what the pending issues are about. He was ready for it. He probably knew he was going to be asked about Doug Martin. He wasn't going to say that I knew last Wednesday and during practice, Rodgers. And you make an excellent point, Steve. Even if the guy missed the team bus from New Orleans, which, by the way, your boy Seferian Jenkins did do, and Cummings and I caught him red-handed a few years
ago.
What
a shock. Austin Seferian Jenkins misses the bus in New Orleans.
Texas?
You know, but Steve, even if that did happen.
I'm at O'Brien's.
He would not be deactivated. He wouldn't have played the first series or whatever.
Sure.
So you're right. It happened well in advance. And the fact that Martin's not going to dress again on Sunday, I think makes the Bucs' intentions quite clear.
Well, throw on to that. There's no way in heck they're going to punish Martin the same way they would do a clown like ASJ. I mean, Martin's got a body of work. He's well-respected by his teammates. ASJ was and is a clown.
Oh, absolutely.
And here's the thing I was going to tell you, Steve, about to back up your point about when the team knew. And I was talking with Jenna Lane, was, you know, of ESPN. She was at the New Orleans game, of course, as she always goes to road games. And she was mentioning to me, I hope she's cool with me saying this. I don't think it's anything, you know, nasty or anything. But she was mentioning to me the last open media window for practice prior to the Saints game. She said she had noticed Koetter talking to Doug Martin quite a long time, and it was not an animated conversation in any way, shape, or form, like, you know, joking around or, you know, Koetter, like, pretending, like, hey, you should do this or you should do that with his hands. It was very casual. There were no smiles, no frowns, but it was a very unanimated, long conversation that Koetter was having with Martin on the sidelines of practice. So read into that whatever you wish.
We'll never know, but maybe we will know a little bit. We're digging, Ira.
We're digging.
You got your shovel on your back.
We're digging.
Right now. You get your tan.
I got a pickaxe. Don't count me out.
All right. All right.
And as soon as we do know, our readers and listeners will know.
Absolutely. All right, Ira. So let's take this the next step. Charles Sims placed on injured reserve. Little bit out of left field, to say the least.
Hadn't heard that he was hobbled.
Nobody said he was hobbled. No issues. Now he's on injured reserve, and they promote a fullback, Austin Johnson. We know that at the end of the year there are shenanigans with a guy appears on IR for the last game, and sometimes that's just to sneak a guy on the roster to protect him, because as soon as the season ends, if you're on the practice squad, you're released as a free agent.
Tells me, Steve, that Bucks want to look at some other guys with an eye towards 2017, Lee. Peyton Barber will get some carries. The new guy might get some carries. Rodgers will get his carries. I guess they felt nothing to be gained from getting Sims out there. We know Charles Sims, in my opinion, and I've said this many times, I'm sticking with it. Good football player in his role. Good football player in his role. DeKemper chomping at the bit to smack around Charles Sims a little bit, because that's what DeKemper does, Steve. And I'm here to defend Charles Sims and saying, good football player at what he does. Terrific production in 2015. Hurt this year. Wasn't backing up a Pro Bowler this year. I'm going forward with Charles. I find a place for Charles Sims on my football team in 2017. DeKemper wants to cut him tomorrow, but that's okay. We beg to differ on this.
You know,
broadcast.
Common sense is trying to overcome me here. But some of the people who think Doug Martin could do no wrong, and how dare we speak ill of a deity? Excuse me, my German upbringing is catching up with me, calling him deity, pronouncing it the wrong way.
Continue,
Charles Sims. Talk about people that have always been hurt. That guy's always hurt. So, you know, right now you're looking at a guy who, your Pro Bowl running back who is in, uncertain terms, shall we say.
Purgatory.
Purgatory is a perfect word. Thank you, God. That's what your vocabulary is.
That's
awesome.
Where I come in.
Yes. And then you have Sims, who's always hurt. I mean, you know, nothing, I can't bag on a guy for being hurt, but be honest. He was hurt his rookie
year. 2 out of 3 years.
Wasn't hurt last year. Gained 1,000 yards from scrimmage.
Oh, yeah, you're 2 out of 3 years.
Was he not dinged up last year a little bit? His rookie year, I know he was dinged up.
Not last year.
Okay, and then this year he's been dinged up quite a bit. Now he injured your injured reserve to end the season. You know, it's one thing. In the immortal words of Jimbo Fisher, football is not PlayStation. Bill Parcells also famously say, your best ability is your availability. So, you know, a guy can have Jerry Rice ability or Ezekiel Elliott or Gale Sayers ability, but if he's not available, what good is he?
Let's keep a little perspective here, Isbits, which I know is difficult for you, but let's keep a little perspective.
I got perspective.
After Gerald McCoy's first 2 years, everybody thought he was injury prone, perhaps a bust. Since then, he's been quite durable. Last year, he was hurt, but he continued to play.
Sure.
So to say that, you know, the guy is injury-prone, poor tolerance for pain, from McCoy, who busted a different bicep each year, yeah, the first 2 seasons. Steve, sometimes a little perspective helps. Yes, Sims has been hurt. We'll see what happens going forward. I've got a little faith in Charles Sims.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. Even more perspective, even though you're knocking my perspective, Ira, I've got no problem with Sims. And look, he doesn't make a lot of money. Next year is the last year of his contract. And when he's played and he's been healthy, he's been pretty good. So they're not going to just ditch him. Just take Sunday. He caught the 4 balls they threw his way, had a couple of nice runs. You know, Dirk Cutter likes him. He's not going anywhere. So you know what? Let him grind through training camp. Let him do whatever he's going to do. And if he can have a great fourth season, fine.
Don't forget,
if not, he's gone.
He made the biggest play of the game, I think we'd all agree, in week one,
yeah,
at Atlanta.
Sure.
Before he got hurt.
But there's no arguing what Lee's saying. The guy's not durable, and he's not a future number one running back.
No, he's not.
So the Bucs will be looking for a number one running back this offseason.
That's my point.
Whether it's the draft, free agency, whatever, you would think that re-signing Quiz Rogers as a free agent is an automatic. And you would think Rodgers would love to be here.
He himself was hurt.
He was hurt too, but he came back strong.
Sure.
And he's not. They're not going to go forward with him as the number one.
I won't
argue
that point.
So it's a slam dunk. New running backs coming.
Yeah, I'm not ragging on guys from being hurt. You know, I don't know any player that wants to be hurt. You know, I'm not ragging on guys. I'm just talking about facts. I'm just talking about reality, or as the kids would say, I'm being real. But here the thing is, if you're Jason Light, and obviously you're already looking to 2017. Are you going to bank on your top three running backs who can't finish a season healthy? Of course not.
No, Steve's right. A new guy's coming in. Now, this is something that's already starting to percolate on Joe Buck's fan. You guys have heard this. You've read it, and it's not going to stop. I can tell you right now. The Dalvin Cook.
It's already started.
The Dalvin Cook scenario. Could he be there? Now, look, he's not going to be there in round two and round three. Could he be there? When the Bucs are sitting there, all of a sudden, that's a priority position, Lee. We didn't think that a while back, that was a priority position.
Didn't think that at all. Now, Steve was mentioning to me off the record, I don't know about off the record, but off air, if you call this, off internet, off mic, whatever. Right now, the next 2 or 3 years, with all this cap space, and, you know, you still have control of players. There's a baseball term for you, control. That's a big thing, control. The next 2 or 3 years is the window. If you're going to make a Super Bowl run, it's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. So generally,
although Winston's only 22.
Winston's only 22, but pretty soon you got to start paying Evans. You got to start paying Hargraves.
You got to start paying Marpet.
You got to pay Winston, of course. You got to pay Donovan Smith. So pretty soon, you're not going to have the depth that you'd have. Look at the New Orleans Saints, for example. Look at the Indianapolis Colts. So your next 2 or 3 years, if you're going to make a run in the Super Bowl, this is the time to do it. So do you, and most general managers will not risk a number one pick on a running back because, you know, short lives, et cetera, et cetera. This is your window. So would Jason Light, and I'm just, obviously I'm just, this is a rhetorical question. Would Jason Light say, you know what? We got to go for the gusto here. Let's trade up and get Dalvin Cook.
Probably depends on what happens in free agency, guys.
Sure.
They get the running back? Do they get the speed wide receiver? I'm all about speed right now. I'm into it right now. I'm asking questions about speed because they don't have it.
They don't have it,
Steve. We've been talking about this for years. They don't have it. Now, maybe they had it when Joey Galloway was flying downfield.
Antonio Bryant?
And, you know, that helped Gruden's offense, you know, with an average quarterback. It helped.
Ira, it helps any offense. Not Gruden. It's speed is kills. Speed.
Speed is speed. And now I don't think the guy has to be 6'4". Well, you got Mike Evans getting the 50-50 balls.
Well, look at your Chiefs.
Tyreek Hill's made a huge difference. I think he's the number one reason why the Chiefs are a little bit dangerous.
How about Darren Sproles? There's a speedster.
Well, absolutely. You know, part of this, you know, part of speed, Ira, is being willing to use it. Okay, and I look, yeah, and part of what I think's been a little bit interesting about Dirk Koetter, I mean, I'll see what you think here, handling, you know, we know that Mike Evans has been double-teamed every possible heavy way that's possible in football, but the Bucs still aren't even taking that deep shot to take pressure off him with another guy. The shot doesn't even come. The 40-yard bomb to Josh Huff, who's got speed. Other
Shepherd.
Guys.
Yeah,
they don't even throw it. Last year, they threw it to Dante Dye. Now, he didn't catch it very often, but they at least threw it to him. And he had that kind of speed.
They don't feel like anybody can get separation.
Anybody can get an inch of separation, which is just, you know, it's so sad that it came down to this.
I will throw this out to you two fine gentlemen.
Where?
Has running back replaced number two wide receiver as the top priority on offense, Lee?
Number one running back has replaced number two wide receiver
number one
as priority.
In your mind, number one running back has replaced number two wide receiver.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think it goes back to the same thing Lee's written 100 times, we've written before, and people talk about. You can get quality running backs later in the draft. You can get competent running backs off the street.
That's what I mean when I said
you
that.
You mean the Chris Ivories of the world? And
insert your Devontae Freeman, your running backs who can run the ball later in the draft. The league is littered with them. So I don't think that's a priority. I mean, look, you got to get that number two receiver because it's screwing up your whole offense, period.
And now you got Brait. So if you get that number two guy, all of a sudden it's pretty formidable.
And by the way, Steve and I, and I'm going to follow this up. Steve and I, for months, when I say months, I'm talking about last draft and last free agency period. I mean, we were screaming, you know, get some weapons for Jameis, i.e. number two receiver. Steve, how much, and Ira, you chime in on this as well, how much is, since this offense allegedly is built, Cutter's offense is allegedly built for a running back, they're not getting any production at running back,
sure.
Certainly not with Doug Martin. How much of that is hurting the offense, and how much is not having a number two receiver hurting the offense, as far as which is hurting the offense more?
I think it's the number two receiver versus the lack of running game.
I think it's a fair, credible argument. Now, I wrote a column this week for Joe Bucks Fan.
You better not be writing anywhere else, pal.
Showing how much the running back production has dropped. It has been dramatic. And as a result, Steve, I might argue, it has contributed greatly to the fact that they set a franchise record last year for offense, one of the reasons Koetter got the job to stand on the sidelines. And this year, their offense isn't scaring anybody in particular, particularly the past 2 weeks and the past two losses. So, you know, they got to get back to that balance. I also showed that Koetter's number of rushing attempts, Lee, is basically exactly the same. Exactly.
That's his goal, isn't it?
28 rushes from year to year. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable consistency. He hasn't lost faith, but apparently he has lost faith in Doug Martin.
Mm-hmm. You can go on and on. You know, a guy you like a lot because it's your podcast, Eric Kaufman Podcast, presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Guy you're a big fan of, David Johnson.
Absolutely.
Out in Arizona.
I'm thinking of putting him on my all-pro team next to Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, there you go. You know, when he was drafted, Ira?
Late
third round.
Tremendous pick.
So, I mean, the guys are out there. And I view Jason Light as more of a trenches guy. He's an ex-offensive lineman. He takes great pride in his O-line. He's even invested a lot of money in having quality backups. Like this year, they paid Cherylis $4.5 million. Now, I'm not calling him a quality backup, but he was at least experienced and the investment was there. And you also had Evan Smith paid handsomely to be a backup. So Light's heavy there.
But they haven't used a first-round pick, Steve?
No, there's been no first-rounder on a big body. And, you know, they need to build that offensive line for Jameis to have the running game that they're looking for without the big name running back necessarily. And I think Light's going to lean more toward the line and the receivers.
Look what the line's done for Dallas and Dak Prescott. I mean, Elliott's going to get 1,000 yards no matter what line he's been. He's that good, Steve. But, you know, I go back and I'm an old Chiefs fan, as the Kemper knows. And in the early 2000s, Lee, Trent Green, who's not going to make it to the halls of Canton, was sensational for 3 years.
Sure.
He had Priest Holmes, but what he had was an offensive line with two Hall of Famers, two. Mm-hmm. You had the guard and you had the left tackle, Willie Rofe, and so led by two, and a very good center in Grunhard. The Chiefs did whatever they wanted on offense, whatever they wanted. They had Tony Gonzalez. The receivers were average. But you know they were putting up 30 points a week, 35. I covered a playoff game, Lee, at Arrowhead in 2003 or whatever when they played Manning and the Colts. There were zero punts in the game.
Oh, I remember
the Chiefs lost the game 38-31 because they committed one turnover and Indy capitalized and they kept scoring. So these things happen. Steve, you're right. The offensive line has to be addressed. The primary back position has to be addressed, and so does the number two wide receiver. What we're saying is, Jason Light, you got a busy offseason.
Well, I understand what you're saying about the offensive line, but you know I've seen teams win and play in Super Bowls with garbage offensive lines. So I'm starting to wonder, you know, I don't know if that's right now. Can the Bucs afford to start drafting guys first round for their offensive line when they've already invested 2 second-round picks?
They didn't run block well enough this year, Lee. They didn't run block.
Is that why Doug Martin's been deactivated, basically?
Well, you know, the holes haven't been gaping for Jacquizz Rodgers either. He's making the most out of it. You see other teams, Lee, they're consistent on the ground.
I mean, Seattle's offensive line is garbage, and they're one of the better teams. Patriots have a shaky offensive line.
They have the best offensive line coach in the league in Dante.
And then let's not forget Mr. Brady.
And Mr. Belichick.
By the way, what's Blunt doing? Steve's always bragging about LeGarrette Blunt behind his shaky offensive line.
Absolutely.
So I don't necessarily buy in that you absolutely have to have this pristine offensive line to succeed in today's NFL. Maybe in 1970s and 80s.
But they need an upgrade, Lee. They need an upgrade at a spot or two.
I'll agree with center. And that could come in free agency.
And maybe they move Donovan Smith to right tackle.
Well, you know, everybody says that, but I talk to NFL people, you know, and there are a couple of guys that they're your contacts too, that you know, people that have never steered me wrong. Some of these guys are ex-offensive linemen themselves, and they don't, I mean, if anybody would know, it's like you don't go to your bartender for health advice. You go to your doctor. So I'm going to coaches and NFL executives. I did this last year in San Francisco. I must have spent 2 hours one day at the media center talking to coaches, talking to ex-coaches, talking to ex-GMs, talking to current GMs about Donovan Smith specifically because everybody was having a heart attack about Donovan Smith. I didn't get any negative feedback about Donovan Smith. The first thing out of people's mind was, he's a rookie. How many times did Jameis get sacked? And so I don't, you know, the fans are in an uproar about the offensive line. And you know what? I don't see the evidence that, you need a pristine line, number one. Number two, that Donovan Smith is the swinging saloon doors of the modern NFL.
I never said that.